Lord. For our Bible reading, let's look to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 4. Luke, chapter number 4. I trust that you'll be prayerful as I try to preach what the Lord has laid on my heart. Let's begin our scripture reading in verse number 16. Luke chapter 4 and verse number 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. If the Lord would stand by me today, I want to preach what I'm calling Why Christ Went to Church. There are many, many miracles that Jesus performed that would be impossible to count and name them all, because in many places the scripture simply reads, "As many as touched him were healed." In other places it says that he healed them all, and I don't know how many all were. But what I want to point out to you today in this message is the three miracles that Jesus performed in the synagogue. They were three miracles that Jesus performed on the Sabbath in the synagogue. Now, Jesus performed many miracles. They were miracles that he performed in regard of ruling nature. They were miracles that Jesus performed in regard of removing demons. They were also miracles that he performed in restoring health. All of these were the wonderful things that he done, as well as miracles in regard to raising the dead. But they were three miracles that Jesus performed in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And they're found in Mark chapter number 1, Luke chapter number 13, and then as well as Mark chapter number 3. Now, it has always been an inspiration to me that the scripture here in Luke 4 makes it so plain that as his custom was, Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. I just love that. There were other things that he done on the Sabbath day, but the thing that he got done before he done anything else, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. I remember that he healed a man that was sick of the palsy on the Sabbath day. So obviously Jesus went visiting on the Sabbath day. He went to the homes of those that were sick and infirm, and he visited on the Sabbath day. But it inspires my heart and strengthens me to know that Jesus went to church on the Sabbath day. Look with me in Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1, and let's take our reading there in verse number 21. Mark 1 and verse 21. "And he went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was a man in their synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God.' And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold thy peace, and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What thing is this? What new doctrine is this For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Why Christ came to church? Number one, that the wonders of the Lord may be seen by all. That the wonders of the Lord may be seen by all. Now, when you would look at this man's case, when you would look concerning the situation of this man that was possessed with an unclean devil or an unclean spirit, most people would recognize him as being incurable. He would be a man that was beyond hope. He would be a man that was without any help. There was not anything that they could do for him. I wonder if this man that had this unclean devil in him had ever been to church before. I wonder if he had ever visited there on any other Sabbath day. I wonder if perhaps he was known of the townspeople. I wonder if perhaps he was one of the kinsfolk of someone there in the church. I don't know how it was that he happened to be there, but the wonderful thing is this, when he come to church, the Lord was to meet him there. You know, and the thing that is so important is that not necessarily who of us that comes to church, the most important thing is that the Lord comes to church. The most important thing is that Jesus comes to church, because who can have their needs met? What incurable can be changed? What hopeless circumstance can be turned around? What impossible circumstance can be changed if Jesus does not come? But oh, if Jesus comes to church, then lives will be changed. If Jesus comes to church, then transformation will be realized. If Jesus comes to church, sinners are going to be saved. If Jesus comes to church, unclean spirits are going to be cast out. The most important thing is that Jesus comes to church. Notice the Bible said that on this Sabbath day when Jesus was there, first I want you to see the devil cried out in torment. It's always been amazing to me that the devil would come to church. I don't know for what reasons, or they have probably various and many that we could surmise of why he did come. This devil, he probably come to break up the meeting. He come to try to interfere. He probably come to try to distract and break up the service. But, you know, I don't want to dwell so much on this devil, this unclean spirit, as I want to point you to a man that was tormented. I want to point you to a man that did not want to be in the shape he was in. Maybe that particular Sabbath, he got up and said, "I'm going to go to the synagogue today." Maybe it had been rumored, maybe he had heard that Jesus had been visiting in the synagogues there throughout Capernaum. And maybe that man said, "If I go to church today, maybe the Lord will be there and he will give me the help that I need." And aren't you glad that when he got there, the Lord met him there and the Lord was able to do it for him exactly what he needed? Hallelujah. You know, this man had to come exactly as he was, for he was no other than what he was. Oh, you're going to help me this morning. He had an unclean spirit. So if he come to the synagogue, he would most undoubtedly come just as he was. Now, a lot of people have the idea that before you go to church, you need to get all cleaned up. Before you go to church, you need to get your life all together. Before you go to church, you need to right all your wrongs. You need to make restitution to everybody that you may owe something. You got to get everything in order before you can come to church. But here's a man that he couldn't do all that, because there was something that had a hold of him. There was something that had gripped his life. There was something that had him bound. There was something that he could not shake free from. So he had to come to church exactly as he was. And I'm glad that when he got to the synagogue that day, that Jesus did not say, "I tell you, before we start service, we need to throw somebody out of the church." Come on here now. I'm glad Jesus didn't say, "Well, now before I read the scripture, and before I again rehearse in your ears,
Luke chapter 4, the words of the prophet Isaiah. Before I tell y'all what I come to do, there's a spirit here I don't like. There's somebody here that I don't appreciate being here. Let's get them out of the church house and then we'll go on with the service. No, sirree. Because Jesus understood behind that voice that cried out, there was a man that was hurting. Behind that voice that cried out, there was a man that needed deliverance. Behind that voice that shrieked in terror and fear, there was a soul that needed to be saved. And that's exactly what Jesus come to do. He come to seek and to save that which was lost. And He come to deliver. I wonder if anybody looked over to the one that was sitting beside them and said, He's here today. I wonder if somebody looked over to somebody across the way and, you know, they mouthed the words. The guy with the unclean spirit, he's here this morning. Come on here now. Or I wonder if some of them, you know, look back and they, you know, and then they turn. And somebody else seen them do that twist, you know, so they had to do their twist. Oh, come on here. Everybody had to get a look. Now, how would you feel if you went to church and everybody turned around and looked at you but never spoke to you? I mean, how would you feel if you went to church and everybody, you know, got their eyes full? And then turn back around like, what in the world are they doing here? He come to church just as he was because he could be nothing else than what he was. Oh, come on, let me while I preach. Amen. But Jesus didn't throw the man out. He just cast the unclean spirit out. The devil cried out in torment. But see, not only that, but the dominion of Christ in triumph. Because Jesus told that unclean spirit, hold thy peace. In other words, be muzzled. And the literal rendering in the Greek is a lot more harsh. It simply means shut up your mouth. So Jesus is saying, just hold it right there. Be quiet. And immediately that unclean spirit come out of the man. And everybody in the synagogue marveled. Everybody in the synagogue was in awe and amazement and astonishment at this man that had power not only to teach with authority, amen, in doctrine, but he had power and authority over the devils. And everybody knew that Jesus, the Son of God, had been in church that day. I want to tell you, there may be people, and I pray that there are people that come through those doors that may look different from us, that may have different ideas and different beliefs and different lifestyles. That's all right. Let them come. Just let them leave changed. I said, let Christ Jesus make a difference in their life. Let Christ Jesus do a work in their hearts. You remember when Solomon prayed his great dedication prayer concerning the temple? He prayed, Lord, I pray that somewhere in this house there'll be a place for a stranger. You know, we need to make room for the stranger. We need to make room for the strange. We need to make room for the different. Everybody's not just like we are. But come now, what did you look like before you met Jesus? Oh, you smiling at me, are you? Why Christ came to church? So that the wonders of the Lord may be seen by all. I challenge you today. I challenge you. I charge you as your pastor and we as Christians. No matter who may visit our church, let them have a welcome of love. And let them know we're here to help you. And we want to see you receive what you need from the Lord. Can I hear an amen? Turn with me now to Luke chapter 13. Here again is another miracle that Jesus performed in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. In Luke chapter number 13, we see a woman that was infirmed. A woman that was infirmed. In verse number 10 of Luke 13, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him. Why Christ came to church, that the wonders of the Lord may be seen by all. Secondly, that the worship of the Lord should be shared by all. I want to tell you, that's a good reason to come to church, isn't it? So that when Christ comes, we may worship Him, we may magnify Him, and we may glorify His name. Now, there were two classes of people that come to church this day here when Jesus healed this woman on the Sabbath day. There was a hurting woman, and then there were some hypocrites that come. And you may have come with some hurts today. May I say to you, there's a healer in the house today. Here is a woman that for 18 years, she, a daughter of Abraham, had been bound with a spirit of infirmity. Here was a woman that had been sick. Here's a woman that had been bent over. Here is a woman that could no wise lift herself up. Year after year, she had become so debilitated. She had become so weak. She had been bent farther and farther and farther. The burden of her sickness weighed so heavy on her shoulders that she was bowed over and she could not look up. She could not even lift up herself. She was bent. She was bowed. And her spirit and her heart was broken. But let's give this daughter of Abraham some credit. When it got time to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, in spite of her sickness, in spite of her infirmity, in spite of her problem, she went to the house of God. And guess what? When she got there, the Lord was there. Amen. When she got to church, the Lord was there. I want to tell you, just because you're sick, you don't have to stay home. You can come to church and you can find that Jesus is there to heal and bring wholeness and deliverance. Jesus will come and deliver you. Here for 18 years, this woman had suffered. She had suffered long. And Jesus saw her. Now that means worlds to me. I'm so glad that the Spirit of God inspired Luke to put that in there. This is the only gospel in where this healing is recorded. Only in Luke is this healing recorded. Jesus saw her. And then he spoke to her. Oh, how wonderful. Jesus not only speaks, sees us in our need, but He will speak specifically to our need. Hallelujah. He laid His hands on her. You know, can you imagine these guys sitting around, shaking their head, these Pharisees? That ain't the way we do it. You know, they had got in such a rut of religion till it had killed them. Yeah. It just wasn't the right time. Wrong place, wrong time. Dad pastored his first church at 12th and 16th in Meridian, Mississippi. I was there. I was too little to remember it, but I've heard him tell it so many times. Well, they told it on him. One dad got up and said, "Well, let's receive tithes and offerings." And would you believe somebody jumped up and said, "Preacher, we don't receive tithes and offerings now." Daddy said, "We do now." Amen. You know, it don't have to be done the same way every time. I mean, it would be all right if we just done things a little different. Just to keep them at home guessing. Hallelujah. Amen. So somebody was probably sitting around saying, "Out of order, wrong time, don't need to be doing that, don't need to be acting that way." Oh, were they in for a surprise? Because not only was Jesus, amen, going to walk over and put His hands on this daughter of Abraham, there was a miracle about to transpire. Amen. And Jesus was fixing to heal her. And the Bible said immediately she was made straight and glorified God. That word glorify means to revere. It means to exalt and to extol and to magnify and to honor. So what's shaking at the synagogue on the Sabbath day? There is a healed woman that reveres the Lord. There's a healed woman that begins to worship, that begins to praise. Her life had been bent, bowed, and broken. But she gets a touch from the Master, and she's made straight. And she cannot help but glorify God. She's got to praise Him. She's got to magnify. She's got to worship and lift up His name. Wow! We got problems in Capernaum on the Sabbath day. Because here's a woman that is glorifying God. And the Pharisees, they all look on with indignation. And the ruler of the synagogue, that's the big cheese. That's the big cat daddy. He said, "You got 6 days. 6 days. Do all that. Why is this woman going to come in here and want to get healed on the Sabbath day?" Now here's the second class of people that come to church that day. Not only the hurting, but they was the hypocrites. Yeah, hypocrites come to church. One guy said, "I won't go to your church because there's hypocrites that go." Instead of just smiling and said, "Come on, we got room for one more." Yeah. Hypocrites come to church. You know what a hypocrite is? It is an actor. It's one that puts on a show. It's one that makes a face. It's one that comes and parks on a pious pew and prides themselves in what they don't do. Amen. And they get that, amen, religious face and they sit there. But all the while, they're really somewhere else. So you're going to help me while I preach. Amen. Everything was going good as long as the order of service was rolling along. But when Jesus started addressing a woman, and when Jesus started speaking to her, and when that woman was healed and began to glorify God, pandemonium set in. It messed up the order of the service. And the old ruler had to get up. And he was going to rebuke that woman for being out of order and for what Jesus had done. But then that's when the Master came to vindicate her. And Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "You're a hypocrite." So I want you to look not only at the woman that reveres her Lord, but I want you to look at this hypocrite that was rebuked by the Lord. Because Jesus rebuked him and He said, "You are a hypocrite." Now why did Jesus call the ruler of the synagogue a hypocrite? He told him why. He said, on the Sabbath day, simply put, before you come to church, you go out there and you loose your ox and your ass from the stall and you lead him away to water. You let him go drink. Rather, you feed and you tend to your livestock on the Sabbath day. You loose him. Huh? You don't leave him confined. You don't leave him cloistered. You don't leave him shut up. You don't leave him locked up in a stall on the Sabbath day. You don't shut him up without water and without food, but you loose him and let him have freedom even on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said, this is a daughter of Abraham. Don't you think after 18 years of being bound that she ought to get loose too? I want to tell you, on the Sabbath day is a good time to get loose. You might have come to church bound and bent and broken and bowed over with the cares and distresses of life. I want to tell you, this is the Lord's day, and He's Lord on the Sabbath, and He has decreed that it's all right to get loose on the Sabbath day. He can lift you up, He can make you straight, and He can deliver you. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I wonder what embarrassment must have swept over the face of this ruler that day when he is rebuked by the Lord. Jesus said, you're nothing more than a hypocrite because you'll loose your animal, but you don't want this woman to get loose. I want to tell you, coming to church is all about people getting loose. Amen. Delivered. Set free. And I know there's always a few old wet blankets sitting around, so we don't have to be afraid of wildfire. Some old wet blanket will put it out. Come on here now. Brother Bill Addis said, it ain't wildfire that's killing us anyway. He said, it's this dry rot that's about to ruin us. Amen. Some folks say, well, I'd rather have a little wildfire and no fire at all. No, I don't want no wildfire. I want the real fire. But this woman got her healing. She began to glorify God. She didn't let the hypocrites hinder her. She didn't let the dry hides hold her back. She wasn't there for them anyway. She had come to glorify God. You know what you need to make up your mind, sis? You know what you need to do, brother? You need to purpose in your heart, I'm not going to let anybody steal my shout. I'm not going to let anybody silence my hallelujah. Listen, I'm not here to praise you, and neither are you here to praise me. But we're here to worship Him. The worship of the Lord should be shared by all. When we come to God's house, we're here for one reason and one reason alone, and that is to lift up and magnify the name of the Lord Jesus. If you think we're here because of you, you got a sad thought coming. If you think we can't meet here without you, you got a sad thought coming. Amen. When I'm gone, amen, the church will still church on. When you're gone, the church will still church on. Because as long as Christ is in the church, then somebody's going to have church. Amen. You don't have a monopoly on it. I don't have a monopoly on it. It ain't about you. Amen. It ain't about me. But it's all about Jesus. My sweet Jesus. Give Him the honor and give Him the praise. Somebody ought to come to church to worship God. Somebody ought to come to church to glorify the Lord. That's what church is all about. In Mark chapter 3, I want to show you the last of three miracles that Jesus performed on the Sabbath day. In Mark 1, He came to church so that the wonders of the Lord should be seen by all. In Luke 13, He came to church so that the worship of the Lord could be shared by all. Now here in Mark chapter 3. And He entered again. I'm so glad that the Holy Ghost inspired Mark to put again. You think Jesus ever got weary with going to church? You think at times He might have thought, what in the world is going to happen when I get there today? Not that He didn't already know, but He might have just had fun asking Himself, you know. Who's going to show up this time? He entered again. I love that because it lets me know that Jesus keeps on coming.
There were times perhaps he was disappointed. There were times when he was, even the scripture makes it real concerning this instance in another gospel. He was grieved. He was angered. But in spite of all that, in spite of having to deal with human inconsistencies, he still come on back. And may I say, I don't want Jesus to get weary with us. In spite of our frailties, in spite of our faults, in spite of our lack of attentiveness, you're going to help me while I preach. In spite of our disrespects, because we are human and I know that, somehow the Lord overlooks all that and he comes back to see us one more time. Even though when we may not have received him graciously, even though when we may not have given him his proper place, even when we might have not really showed him the honor that he so rightly deserved, he said, I'm going to go back and visit him again. And I feel like that sometimes we are guilty, friend, of going through the order of service. And we've not really given Jesus his just due. We went through our rich. As he entered again, I want him to keep coming. Keep coming to meet us. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. Now, I won't take time to turn to Luke, but it's been pointed out to you before that Luke, he records it this way, a man who had his right hand withered. And they watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. In the first miracle that I preached to you about, Jesus healed an incurable. In the second miracle, Jesus healed an infirmed. In the third miracle, Jesus now heals a man who was injured. And I say that because the commentators lead us to understand that this man's withered hand was not congenital. It was not a birth defect. Luke so says he had his right hand withered. It was due to an injury, be it an accident or a stroke, his hand withered. Atrophy had set in. His hand had lost its strength. It had shrunken. But there's something that I want to show you in this story. Because everything that Jesus done, he done it for a purpose. And everything that Jesus taught, he was trying to give them a message that they could relate to. And so there must be a message in the miracle. What is the meaning of the miracle? Remember, they were there so they could accuse him. They were there so they could find fault with him. And so Jesus makes a spectacle of this man with a right hand withered. Stand forward. No doubt everybody knew him in this small locale. He is handicapped. They don't have workman's compensation. They don't have benefits. I wonder what he done for a living. Suppose he was a stonemason. That was a very common craft of that day. Suppose he was a stonemason. And then one day there's a dizzy spell. One day there's a fainting fit. There's unconsciousness, a stupor. And when he wakes up, his right hand's withered. Oh, help me, Father. But this man, with his right hand withered, he goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. I wonder how many times he went. I wonder how many years he went. So the first thing I see about this story was a man whose hand was withered. Oh, God. A man whose hand was withered. And Jesus says to him, you stand forth. You stand forth. But now remember, they were Pharisees there. They were Sadducees there. And they were critics there. And as I look at this story, I really don't know who to pity more. This man with a shrunken hand, or all those people with shriveled hearts. I really don't know who I feel the most sorry for. For somehow or another, I feel more pity for all those Pharisees whose hearts have shriveled. Oh, God. I wonder today if I could somehow diagnose your case. If I could somehow or another look at your circumstance. Is it a withered hand? Is it a withered heart? Is there any one person that we pity more? Is there any one person we pity most than that person that's got a dried up soul? Oh, God. His hand was withered. The Lord spoke healing words. Hallelujah. The Lord spoke healing words. Hallelujah. And his hand was whole. Why did Jesus come to church? Last of all, so that the words of the Lord may strengthen all. And immediately, his hand was whole just like the other. I got two good hands. His hand was withered. There were spoke healing words. His hand is whole. He's got two good hands. Hallelujah. And so that's why Jesus came to church. To the incurable, the crazed is now made sane. To the infirmed, the crooked is now made straight. And to the injured, the cripple is now made strong. That's exactly why Jesus come to church. I don't know what class of people you may fall under. I don't know where you may be in the synagogue today. But the thing that matters most is Jesus has come. And He is here today. And He is able to deliver. He is able to speak words of life, wonderful words of life, words that will heal, words that will strengthen, words that will make whole. It matters not what you're going through. The Savior is in the synagogue and He's come to do a work today. Stand all over the house. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Come get me a song, please. Now, Father, I thank You for this service today. I thank You for these precious people that have been so patient to hear the words of Your servant this morning. Lord, we know that You're here. Already we've witnessed the pledge of Your presence. You promised that if we gather in Your name, that You would come. We thank You for Your presence we feel right now. God, I ask, Lord, that You'll minister to every heart. Strengthen every individual. Lord, there may be a life here tormented by the enemy of their soul. You're here today, Lord, to speak words that bring peace and deliverance. Lord, there may be one here today that is bowed over with the cares of life. Their spirit is broken. Lord, You're here to heal and make them straight today. And for that one, Lord, whose hand is withered. Or maybe as the Pharisees whose heart has withered. God, you're able to make it whole. In Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Now, as you have obviously come to understand, Jesus was not without critics, but yet he continued to work on the Sabbath day. He didn't let the fault finders bother him. He didn't let the criticizers stop him. He just went right on doing good. In house of prayer, we're not going to be without our critics. We're not going to be without those that sit around looking for something to gripe about, looking for something to fuss about. But I made up my mind, I didn't come to church for them anyway. I come to worship the Lord. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. Because it's Him that spoke peace to my troubled soul. It's Him that spoke words of healing when my heart was broken. So what I'm going to do is just praise Him anyway. House of prayer. If it is obvious, and you know it is, that Jesus came to church for a purpose and a specific reason, well, then it's easy for us to accept. We come for one too. We come to worship Him. Now, I want you to hear what I got to say. I was in my study praying the other morning, and I felt the Holy Ghost come on me. And I was studying in Mark chapter 3 about a man with a withered hand. And if ever I heard the Holy Ghost, I heard the Holy Ghost speak to me and say, it's not their hand, it's their heart. And I want you to hear your preacher here today. There's somebody on the sound of my voice. Your problem goes deeper than your hand. It's your heart. Something has got a hold of your heart, and it's drying up your soul. It's been way too long since you felt the Spirit of God move on your soul. You've got bitter. You've got hard against God. Your heart is getting hard. It's not just your hand. It's your heart. Oh God, please help us today, Lord. Oh God, what's creeping over your soul? What's been going on with you lately? Why is there such a distance between you and the things of God? Why is there such a coldness between you and your preacher? Why is there such a distance between you and the altar? Why has it been so long since you really let God move on your life? He said it goes further than their hand. It's their heart. It's withered. And I say I pity the man more that's got a withered heart than a man with a withered hand. Oh God, oh God. Oh Jesus. I'm fixing to make an altar call, but I'm going to make it easy on you. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But you're here this morning, you know you are. There's been something creeping over your heart lately, and it's drying you out. You're not as tender. You're not as tender toward the things of God as you used to be. Your heart's withering on you. And Jesus healed that man that day to show He had power to make whole. He could do for their hearts what He done for that man's hand if they would only let Him. He'll do the same for you today if you'll let Him. While they sing, let's fill the front and let's seek the face of God.